This is Gorilla Position with James D'Lo.
Hello, you. Welcome to Gorilla Position. Thank you very much for hitting the download button on this, your pro wrestling / sports entertainment podcast of pleasure. It's a very special Monday pay-per-view reaction special of GP. We are, of course, breaking down WrestleMania 34 weekend from New Orleans, baby. NOLA. Still don't know what NOLA means. I'm joined by an equally weary but very handsome Matt Davis. How are you, Matt?
Thanks. I don't feel very handsome. I feel quite tired and sweaty.
But you are wearing you're wearing a GPT, so therefore you're very handsome.
Yeah. Can polish a turd.
How are you? Sorry, a swig of iced coffee for the working man.
For the working man.
How are you feeling? You're on, what, 3 hours sleep?
Yeah, I'm pretty tired, to be honest. I'm wondering how the visit to the aquarium's going to go later.
Yeah, you've got family over today.
Yeah.
You're going to struggle.
9 and 6-year-old nephews.
I imagine...
That'll be fine. They'll keep me awake, at least.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I'm on, I think, 2 hours sleep. I was woken up by my children who just ran in, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy!" And it's that moment where you just question everything. So, here we are, Monday morning. Immediate reactions of WrestleMania 34 weekend. I've just had a long, garbled 12-minute voice message from Skillet, who's out in New Orleans, obviously.
Drunk as a skunk.
He did kind of review NXT TakeOver and WrestleMania 34 for me, but I don't have time to edit what he sent, so I'm not going to play it in. But Skillet, I love you, and it sounds like you've had a brilliant time. People should follow Skillet at Skillet World.
Yeah,
right, isn't it? Yeah, on Twitter.
It's not just jealousy on your part. Are you refusing to play it in?
Yeah, I've even deleted the message. I didn't even listen to it. No, I did. I listened to it all. Thank you, Skills. And I'm glad you've had such a good time. And I hope you guys at home enjoyed Mania. Matt, obviously people will be negative on Soch, but there seems to be a lot of negativity this morning.
Yeah, and it's weird because when I went to... So I tapped out, as I usually do, at just after Daniel Bryan and Shane. Because I was pretty tired and I thought, well, that's quite a feel-good moment to go to bed and I wake up and watch the rest of it in the morning. And at that point, I was thinking, and the Soch was reflecting this, that this was up there with one of the greatest WrestleManias ever at that point. And it feels like it fell off a cliff a bit in the second half. Now, I had initially thought, it's different when you watch it in the morning than when you watch it live, isn't it? You've not got the same buzz. So I thought, I've not got the same buzz about me. So maybe that's part of it. But having, as you know, watched a lot of the recent WrestleManias, the pattern's the same. The first half is brilliant, and then it fades away a bit. And I mean, is it too obvious to say that it's because it is far too long?
Well, this is the thing. When will WWE learn that they need to trim an hour off this thing?
Yeah, and the kickoff as well, which I, by the way, thought was really underwhelming. I mean, the matches and stuff I thought was pretty disappointing. We don't need that. I mean, 14 matches on this card.
Yeah, I mean, a two-hour kickoff show is unnecessary. And then,
especially when you got David Otunga on it. I mean...
No one needs to.
I tweeted last night, if David Otunga is the question, what is the answer? And I got some wonderful responses. Have a look on my timeline for that.
Oh, I didn't see that. That's superb. The overall length is a big issue, I think. And I thought they would have learned from last year. Because last year was another marathon. It did the same thing. It was brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And then, as you say, dropped off a cliff a bit. So you'd think that they would learn. Especially after people sat through about 5.5 hours of the Hall of Fame.
Well,
Friday night.
Some did.
some did. A few did.
But it's not even that for me. It's the juxtaposition with NXT.
Yeah.
And I don't know, is there a possibility of reducing the Hall of Fame massively, making it something much smaller in terms of the event, certainly how they televise it? And this was something that was spoken about last year, didn't gain much traction. But say you go Hall of Fame Thursday, NXT Friday, WrestleMania Part 1 Saturday, WrestleMania Part 2 Sunday. I mean, is that just not practical? Is it too expensive?
I don't know. I mean, the idea of getting everyone in and out of the stadium once on Saturday, once on Sunday, I don't know. It feels, I don't personally like the idea. But I just think there are certain matches that didn't need to be on the card.
No,
I don't think the US title match needed to be on the card.
Absolutely not. And you think back to our favourite WrestleManias, they're all, I'd be surprised if any of them are over 3 hours. Maybe 30 was just over 3 hours. But You know, it certainly, you think back to the classics, this, you know, your 17s and stuff. What was that? Probably 2 3/4 hour show, something like that?
There would have been a solid 3 hours. But yeah, that's still way shorter than a 5 hour marathon plus a 2 hour kickoff show. So before we get into Mania, because there is lots to discuss, obviously, let's talk about, so Hall of Fame. Did you watch it?
The only thing I've seen is what the clips they put on the main show last night. But I saw the pictures of all the empty seats of when the talents had gone backstage for some reason I'm not entirely sure of. I like Mark Henry's son in the salmon pink jacket.
Hilarious.
The only thing I read online was that Hillbilly Jim in particular waffled on for far too long and took a lot of the air out of the room. But as I say, I haven't watched it.
So I was texting with Skills, who was obviously there in person, and he said that Hillbilly Jim's speech was 34 minutes long, and it's just too long.
Yeah.
That's longer than an episode of EastEnders.
I remember when Foley did a really long one, didn't he? And they cut it on the TV broadcast and he sulked a bit, but that's Mick Foley. This is Hillbilly Jim.
Yeah.
You know, a 5 minute speech probably would have sufficed. A 10 minute speech certainly would have, wouldn't it?
Yeah. There was one awkward moment. And I haven't watched the thing in its entirety, so I don't know if it was that awkward. But where Ivory made a gag about Ric Flair's marriages.
That was on the clip was on. Yeah. Well, maybe, you know, there's more to that than we know.
So yes, Hall of Fame. Generally, the general consensus is it was far too long. And then Saturday night, NXT TakeOver, New Orleans. There was lots also happening at Access, wasn't there? There was the tournaments. I've struggled to keep up. Being there, it's very difficult to keep up with everything. But maybe we can look into that and break that down more on Wednesday's show.
Yeah. But it is hard because life, isn't it? You know,
well, it is. Yeah. I had it clouding my head all weekend thinking, oh, I need to try and keep up. And
you've got two kids. I was working all weekend. There's a finite amount of time that we've got. And, you know, listen, listeners will have the same problem for maybe for different reasons, but we've all got 24 hours in our day.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of wrestling.
Yeah. Talking of a lot of wrestling,
Zoom.
NXT TakeOver New Orleans. This was the big card everyone was really looking forward to. Overall, what were your thoughts?
Overall, it was grand. I slightly hamstrung myself, I think, a little bit by watching it on, just in terms of getting everything in. The only time I could watch it was from 9 o'clock on Sunday morning.
Right.
And Mania, I like to watch live with my headphones in, on the iPad, totally focused. In this, my wife was bitten about hoovering and Brian was barking and stuff. So I wasn't 100, so I'm going to go back and watch it again, I think. But I absolutely loved it. I'm going to be controversial and say it didn't contain my match of the weekend. The matches are all so amazing in their own right. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps now.
There's not one bad match. There's not one bad match on the card, is there?
You know how much I love Aleister Black, so you can imagine how happy I was that he won the title.
Yeah.
And that Gargano and Ciampa thing, I mean, I think in terms of storytelling in a match, that's going to be being played in the Performance Center in 20 years' time.
Yeah.
This is how you tell a story in a wrestling match. And, oh, man, yeah, feelings now. What an incredible story those two told.
It was so brilliant. And it's sort of, it's one of, with the video package going in and then the match itself, it kind of, like a different story, but it reminds you of the HBK, Chris Jericho, that standard of storytelling. Mm. And that was 10 years ago now. So anyway, we'll get to the main event. But the first match kicked off in spectacular style with the ladder match, EC3, Velveteen Dream, Ricochet. Oh, Ricochet.
Yeah.
Oh, Ricochet.
The Irishman I was looking forward to see. He's quite good, isn't he?
He's all right. Adam Cole, Killian Dane, and Lars Sullivan. So six-way ladder match to determine the first ever North American champ. There was just so much stuff in this match. I mean, what a show opening.
Fantastic. And I feel like he was in the War Games match, a bit of an underrated contributor to matches like this is becoming Killian Dane. I think he
was brilliant.
You look at it and kind of think, oh, he's an addict. He's not going to win. You know, he's the Kofi Kingston in the chamber or whatever. But he ate the key in War Games. And here he's just brutal, isn't he? He's got a really unique look, obviously. He's sort of quite classic old school British wrestling in a way. But I love that guy. I mean, I wasn't that happy about Adam Cole winning the title, but then I thought about it and thought, that's because he's a heel and I don't like him, not because I don't think he should have it.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I there was so much going on. I mean, to your point, Killian Dane looked brilliant. Skillet on his voice message that he left me this morning said, and this is a really good point, everyone had their moment to shine. There was not one person, even Lars Sullivan, I thought looked like an absolute beast in there.
Yeah.
And there were so many great spots. The Vader bomb by Killian Dane onto a ladder onto Velveteen Dream with Adam Cole on his back.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Velveteen Dream, by the way, Patrick Clark, 22.
Makes you sick.
And he's
it?
Not like, you know, when we had Pete on at GP150 and he's like, oh yeah, I've been doing this since I was 14, rolling around in Japan, whatever. You get the impression that that's not the case for Patrick Clark. He just picked it up ridiculously quickly, hasn't he?
He was superb, as was his elbow drop from the top of the ladder. I mean, that wasn't just falling off the top of the ladder. He actually jumped when he was stood on the top rung. So that was spectacular. Ricochet, basically everything he did in the match. I mean, so what were your first impressions on Ricochet?
He's just acrobatic would be the word that I would use to describe him. But he's got, you can see he probably needs a little bit more personality injected into him. When you put him up against somebody like Velveteen Dream, who's got, a really nicely rounded character. But that'll come in time. And yeah, he's, your brain just spins with all the possibilities of matches that he can have in NXT on the main roster and everything, doesn't it?
He's so incredible. Everything I've seen previously online with his matches, it's so acrobatic. It almost takes you out of the moment.
Weren't that big of a fan of that, were you?
Well, it's just that thing of it doesn't feel like a fight. It feels like an aerial display.
Yeah.
And as impressive as that is, and I'll never take anything away from the athleticism behind it, I just, sometimes that bothers me a little bit. Whereas in this match, I thought there was, plenty of selling, brilliant storytelling, mixed in with the amazing spots. Mm. I thought it was just perfect. Adam Cole super kick party, followed by Adam Cole, baby. I thought that was spectacular. The rolling Death Valley driver, Dream onto Ricochet from the top rope onto a ladder, which was bridged across another ladder, stood in the ring. Just a spectacular opening match.
Yeah, fantastic.
Brilliant.
I've nothing else to say on that.
Yeah.
My Adam Cole thing is, I'm not sure if he's quite as good as they think he is in terms of the character. I'm not sure if there's the depth there. Like, there's something about Kyle O'Reilly that I really like. I think his look is quite sinister and silly things like the way he does the air guitar with the belts.
Yeah, he's
a bit scrappy. I'm just not 100% on Adam Cole yet, but this is the first I've seen of him coming into NXT, so I'll give him some time.
Well, I think, he's done amazing stuff on the indies. He's much loved, obviously, by the ICW. Absolutely perfect. The crowd were white hot, understandably. Loved it. Ember Moon versus Shayna Baszler was the next match. What did you think of this NXT?
So, as I say, my wife was in the room at this point, and she was absolutely terrified of Ember Moon. I'm like, she's the good girl. I this is a really good match. What I think Ember Moon, obviously, we think is coming up now. We sort of speculated that Shayna would be winning the title. The bit where she was trying to pop her shoulder back in was pretty brutal.
Yeah, well, I love that. By the way, just when you call Ember Moon a good girl, I just now imagine Tom Petty singing about Ember Moon.
Okay.
She's a good girl, loves her mother. I loved the popping the shoulder back into place, using the ring post. I thought that was great. Ronda Rousey, of course, was at ringside.
Yes, and delighted to be there with one of the other four horsewomen whose name I don't know or can't remember.
I love this. And then Shayna Baszler won with the Kirifuda clutch, I think that's what it's called.
Bless you.
to win the title. But I really loved the ending of this because it felt real. It had that sort of MMA style. Ember was just unconscious. Great. Really, really good. And then
where do you think she's going?
Who, Ember?
Yeah.
Main roster.
Yeah, Raw or Smackers.
Oh, I see. Oh, you want specific details, I see.
You always hope with the women that they're going to go to Raw, don't you?
I don't know, actually. Probably Raw.
Mm.
She feels like more of a Raw talent right now.
Yeah. Is Charlotte a face or a heel? She's a face at the minute, isn't she?
She's a face at the minute.
Yeah, so you've got two face champions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. And then Undisputed Era, Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly versus Authors of Pain versus Pete Dunne and Roderick Strong. Yet another really, really strong match.
Yeah.
Very, very
literally
good.
In this case.
Lich. So talk me through the ending of this one.
So Roddy, it's sort of weird because it looked like Pete had Kyle O'Reilly pinned. So you'd kind of, I think it was Kyle O'Reilly, was it? So you kind of think, well, wouldn't you just want to take the win, take the belts and the cup? But no, he pulled Pete off. Turns heel on him and joined the Undisputed Era. There was a little moment where Roddy kind of walked, stood on top of Pete Dunne, and Pete kicked him off while he was laying on the floor. And just that little attention to detail is great. Like, yeah, all right, you know, I'm still strong enough to kick you off, even though.
Yeah.
But it desperately needed heel turn from Roderick Strong. Obviously, it also doubles up in terms of covering for the injury to Bobby Fish, so there can be a three-man again going forward. But we've spoken about Roddy's personality or lack thereof in recent weeks, so he needed this.
But straight away, the facials he was giving when he turned heel, he so viciously turned heel on Pete Dunne, like it was a real beatdown at the end. And then just the way he was posing with the other boys next to the Dusty Classic Cup at the end on the rampway, I was really pleased with it. I really thought it was great.
I want to see Pete get some comeuppance though, because he's a heel, isn't he? He was a face sort of in this Dusty Classic run, but I don't want him to just have been expendable turned on in this. You know, maybe one week he comes back and attacks Roddy or whatever, we'll see.
Okay. And while we're talking about Pete Dunne, we should also mention, because there were a lot of big announcements over the WrestleMania weekend. They ran a network promo which revealed the UK would be getting a King of the Ring tournament, which we don't know many details about that, but
Is that the UK Championship one, or is that a different thing?
No, it's a different thing.
Oh, blimey.
So UK King of the Ring. So maybe we'll talk about that in the news on Wednesday when we've got more details. But also, two nights, June 18th and 19th, I think, at the Royal Albert Hall, the UK Championship tournament is returning. I had word of this a few days ago. Someone told me that a historic venue might hold some WWE shows coming up. And I had a feeling it might be Albert Hall. But that's got to be the first time they've been there in about 20 years?
Crikey Moses.
I went to an Albert Hall show in 95, I think it was.
Can you remember was it a house show?
It was a house show, yeah.
Who headlined? Fallow period, that, 95, wasn't it?
Was it 95? I think it was 95.
Doink against IOS. It was
poor. Razor Ramon was there, I'm sure. Owen Hart was there. Brett was there. Yeah, but yeah, it's been a long time since they went to Albert Hall. So tonight, UK Championship tournament there.
Nice.
Hello you. Maybe an NXT get together. NXT, a GP get together.
Well, I was thinking that might be a good time for the Debray party, but we'll see.
Yeah, very good idea. So next, Andrade Cien Almas puts NXT title on the line against Aleister Black. At the risk of just sounding really repetitive,
this was a great match.
Another great match. I mean, you just can't fault it.
Zelina Vega adds so much to Almas.
She's unbelievable.
You think about where he was before she came on the scene, and he was sort of DOA. You know, was he a heel? Was he a face? He was floundering in both roles. He owes her a big pat on the back, I think. But
not for the end of this match.
No, but Aleister Black's my boy, so I was delighted to see him get the belt, even though it means he's not coming up anytime soon. But, you know, as we always say, probably better off in NXT.
Yeah, exactly. So just talk us through the finish of this match.
Oh, James, I can't remember. You told me through it. I haven't made any notes on NXT. It was yesterday. I've had 3 hours of sleep. I've watched 15 hours of wrestling since then.
It's ridiculous.
She interfered and it went wrong.
Essentially. And did she cross body block? She tried to cross body block Aleister Black, but he ducked. And Cien Almas caught her, and then I think he was super kicked in the face.
Yeah, off the distraction, that sounds right,
something like that. But another great match. And then we go into the video package on DIY's demise, and then into Ciampa and Gargano, the main event, Shane O'Mac in the front row with his family. Yeah.
And Rock's mum.
And Rock's mum.
And sister, daughter?
Yeah, daughter. Ciampa, no music. What a heel.
Yeah, Dolph Ziggler. This is how it actually becomes effective when you do it.
Yeah. I loved everything about this.
Yeah, the crowd chanting, "You're a wanker" at him, which was very British, which I enjoyed.
Extremely British.
The brutality, Johnny Gargano not knowing how far that he could take it. Ciampa, I mean, we said this on Wednesday, but I mean, in terms of healing, I'm struggling to think of many people who've done it better in my time as a wrestling fan.
Well, you don't often get proper heat like that.
It's not like marks like us booing him because we want to respect the character that he's playing, if you see what I mean.
Yeah,
it's people genuinely don't like the bloke, and that's so precious when you get it.
precious. It is, yeah.
And the obviously the story of this is great anyway, but the fact that, you know, one was best man at the other's wedding in real life, yeah. And they obviously are, you know, best of friends still. But knowing that they are obviously in real life still best friends, and that adds something else when you're watching them destroy each other, doesn't it? Like, some of the spots are insane. The Ciampa taking that sort of flat bump onto the concrete, I mean, ugh. Ow.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you watch that and you can see that they executed it perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, Ciampa lifted his head up enough so he wasn't going to smack the back of his head on the concrete. So the timing of it was just, perfection. There was other stuff where...
The commentators did well with that as well, I thought, to justify it.
I thought the commentators were great on NXT.
Yeah, Mauro Ranallo had a really good night. I think Percy Watson gets a lot of stick. And like I said
good.
Months ago, this is his first time doing it, and it's hard. So you've got to give him some. And it's not easy for him when McGuinness comes in and is so excellent. And just that, the sort of counterbalance of his British accent with those two just works beautifully.
Yeah, it's wonderful. The Mamma Mia chants after the table spot were brilliant. There was a superplex off the table, which was so horrible to watch. I think Ciampa at that point did hit the back of his head, and it looked like he took the fall worse than Gargano did. Powerbomb off the top rope onto the double knees. Like, it's just... Oh, and also with the table spot, the commentator's mics genuinely cut off, and that just added to the drama.
Yeah.
I just loved it. I really want to go back and watch it. And it was 37 minutes and six seconds. So they really told an epic story. And then just the emotion at the end.
So what's next? I'm really surprised that Ciampa didn't win. Does this mean that they're going to continue their feud? Because I kind of feel like they shouldn't continue the feud.
It feels like it should be a one and done.
Yeah, because they can't improve that, can they?
No.
Like, there's lots of matches a few matches on the actual WrestleMania card where you think, oh, this is clearly the first of a series of matches. But that, Don't try and top it because you won't.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they could go to a sort of Hell in a Cell style, cage match or something. I don't know. But yeah, it was so perfect. And the ending where they were both sat down with each other when Gargano was thinking, can I take this far?
Yeah.
And then Ciampa swung for him and then he made him submit using Ciampa's knee brace.
Yeah.
Just, if you haven't watched this match, I mean, we've just given you all the spoilers, but... Just go and watch it.
And John Cena, that's how you put on an SDF.
Yeah, it's not hard, is it? It's not hard. Jeez. Spectacular main event. Do we need to give it a round of applause?
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, absolutely amazing.
Jim Smallman of Progress, he tweeted that he thought that was his favourite wrestling card of all time.
I saw that.
That's a big call.
And he called that one of his favourite matches.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, big words, but...
I'm not sure it was even my favourite takeover, and that's not a criticism at all, because all the takeovers are amazing. But there's such a plethora of them to go through.
One thing I do feel is that NXT, we've said it before on the show, but I feel like they've really hit their stride again.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm invested in like pretty much everyone on the card. I thought every match was superb. The crowd were red hot throughout. I don't know if it could have been better, to be honest. Really, really good. Really good. Well done, NXT. And also, there was another thing that happened at Access. Daniel Bryan came out and he said the one person he wants over on SmackDown is Johnny Gargano. And then Gargano replied to his, using Twitter, he replied and said, I appreciate the shout out, but I'm going to stay here at NXT because I've got other goals to achieve.
And you're back now, and that's my gimmick.
Yeah, exactly. I would be on SmackDown if it wasn't for you. Quick reminder, by the way, we've got a Twitter competition going on at the moment. If you want a chance to win two tickets to the May 15th SmackDown live taping at the O2 in London, and it's VIP tickets, Matt. It's not just tickets to the event. These VIP... Yeah. Yes. Tickets to the event, and also... You will be whisked backstage for a meet and greet with WWE superstars. It's an amazing prize. It's on our Twitter account at the moment. So just head to @WWEGP and check that out. Follow and retweet. You could go to that event with us and then meet some superstars as well.
Can I win that?
You should do that. We'll be backstage anyway, Matt.
Okay.
Don't worry about that. What they don't realize is their prize is to actually meet us.
Pride?
Prize. Oh, yeah. Okay, we're going to break down WrestleMania 34 from the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in just a minute after you listen to this beautiful HelloFresh sponsorship read. Listen to it all. We'll see you in a minute. Hello, you, to HelloFresh. If you love your food and are tired of cooking the same old things, HelloFresh could change your world, just like it has done mine and my family's. Cooking. Now, thanks to HelloFresh, you can. Cook different meals with a huge variety of fresh ingredients every day. It'll wake up your taste buds, I promise you. But crucially, have a drink. It takes all the stress out of meal planning. And this is all for a very similar cost to your weekly shop. Gonna make us some food now. HelloFresh sends new recipes every week with perfectly portioned fresh ingredients right to your door. You can choose classic, veggie or family boxes. They're available for between 2 and 4 people with 3 to 5 meals per week, whatever you decide. I'm so hungry, mama. Check out all the details on their website. Head on over to hellofresh.co.uk. Everything you need to know is on there. Plus, if you make an order, being a loyal Gorilla Position listener will help you right out. You can get 50% off your first 2 boxes with the promo code GP50. Remember that, promo code GP50. You can swap meals, you can skip weeks, or you can even pause your subscription at just the touch of a button too. Well, it smells so good. Cook Instagram-worthy, picture-perfect meals and avoid those supermarket queues as well. If you want no more kitchen disasters and boring, samey dinners, HelloFresh is the answer to your mealtime prayers. Head on over to hellofresh.co.uk, use the promo code GP50 and get 50% off your first 2 boxes now. Cooking. Welcome back to Gorilla Position, the show that takes you closer to the action and adventure of WWE. And what an action-filled, adventurous weekend it has been from New Orleans. Of course, WrestleMania 34 weekend. My name's James D'Lo, along with Matt Davis.
Yeah. We're going to celebrate. Yeah. I feel like I don't need to hear that again.
No, I love it.
What? You do this every year. You did it with Give Me the Green Light last year.
Give me the green light. I'm ready to go. No, every WrestleMania, I mean, it's always either Pitbull or Kid Rock, isn't it? But anyway, yes, we're breaking down WrestleMania 34 weekend. So let's get into the juicy meat.
Okay.
Of Mania weekend, the big show, the show of shows, the showcase of the immortals, Matt.
Starting with the dry end piece that was the kickoff show.
So the 2-hour kickoff show. So what I realized is they do an hour on the network only, and then they throw to, and then they do sort of, it's almost like a whole separate production for the second hour, which is on the USA network as well as the network.
So that's why they kept saying it's free to sign up. $3.99, as Booker kept saying.
Yeah, that was annoying.
Well, I could almost hear Kevin Dunn going, don't say that, people will think it's $3.99.
Exactly. So annoying. So who were the kickoff panel? It was obviously Renee looking beautiful and stunning as always.
Otunga, JBL and Booker
to begin with.
Yeah,
and
Rosenberg came in. I almost tweeted this last night, but I never got around to it. In some regards a occasional presenter of, you know, this kind of thing, not TV, Renee Young, we just take it for granted now. Like, she makes something really difficult look really, really easy. Like, I can't stress how difficult it is to present a TV program when you got 3 people there with you who, you know, what, 2 of them certainly could say anything.
Yeah.
You've got a load of people in the background.
Yeah.
Most of them probably doing their best to put you off.
Yeah.
And you've got somebody in your ear talking at all times. It is hard, and she makes it look easy.
She is one of the best, if not the best, host that WWE has ever had.
Yeah, 100%.
She's absolutely superb. And just the magnitude of Mania and being, as you say, all those people behind her, but this time that's just magnified because there's, you know, 70,000 people behind her.
It's that thing,
so well.
That thing that presenters like, I always think of Des Lynam was really good at this. They're like a swan in that they look like they're floating beautifully on the water.
Yeah.
But you can't see under the surface that their legs are going frantically as they're trying to process everything and get it done.
That analogy is like superb. That? Matt Davis, everyone. I mean, just incredible. Rene the swan.
Yeah.
The wonderful swan. And I know I say this, I know maybe you might not be the biggest fan, but I think in this scenario with the kickoff panel, I think Pete Rosenberg does really well out there.
Yeah, I mean, he did actually. I do like him. I just think he's got a tendency to make it all about him a little bit too often. Like little things like, everybody hates me on social media. I know we say that sometimes too, but we're not on the WWE network. But no, he's good. He's a trained presenter, broadcaster, isn't he? And poor old Sam Roberts, who apparently got stitched up by, again, somebody in his ear not giving him the right cue. But you could, like with last year's WrestleMania, there is a difference in sort of ability at this kind of thing between Rosenberg and Roberts, which is interesting because they are essentially pretty similar in terms of what they do.
Like, I think Sam is great, but I I do agree that on screen he feels a little bit more uncomfortable, whereas Pete Rosenberg is just seems very relaxed and comes across.
And to be fair, you know, not to make it about me, but I've only been on screen presenting, doing stuff a couple of times, and I'm really, really terrible at it, and it petrifies me. But behind the microphone, when you can't see me, I'm all right. So again, it's a difficult thing. So we shouldn't criticise him too much. But no, it was quite funny him just saying action repeatedly.
Oh, bless him! That, I mean, I really felt for him, especially if it was a miscue from the director. But he sort of paused, looked around, looked back into the camera, and went, "Action! We've got a lot of action coming up." Oh,
it's like old what's his name, that presenter whose career just died totally when he did the Channel 4 coverage of the World Athletics Championships a couple of years ago.
Oh.
And he just finished with Jessica Ennis.
Oh, I need to YouTube that clip. Okay, so elsewhere on the kickoff show, so we have John Cena in the crowd kind of throughout, mixing it up with the fans. Matt shaking his head. I didn't mind this.
I didn't mind it at first, but it should have ended at the kickoff show.
They cut to him quite often.
Yeah, and he's not a good actor in terms of...
I thought he got better. There were a couple of occasions, I think during the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, they kept cutting to him and he would have this really surprised look on his face. Yeah. That was a bit hammy and a bit OTT, but I thought it did get better as the show went on. So Matt Hardy wins the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal with the help of Bray Wyatt, of course. I hated this.
Bray Wyatt's character change, as far as I could see, involved putting on a sort of lead apron that you might put on if you were having an X-ray on your hips. That's
maybe,
the extent.
Maybe he is.
Well, maybe he is, but yeah, this was really bad, wasn't it?
It's just, and I'm not being negative for negative's sake. I just am not a fan. What I've realised about myself is that I hate battle royals. I just, because it's not wrestling. You don't see any wrestling. You see kicks and punches for 10 minutes, and then you might see a nice few sequences for the last minute or so.
And this one didn't even have any surprise entrants, didn't have any celebrities, didn't have any people returning from injuries. Not one person, as far as I could tell, got a televised ring entrance. It was just they're all there.
Yeah, not in the men's one. It was, I really didn't enjoy this match. Seeing Dolph, it's such an obvious ploy just to get everyone on the card. Yeah. And, you know, I've said before, kudos to WWE for doing that. But at the same time, it's just not something anyone really wants to see.
Nope.
I don't think the crowd really enjoyed it.
And nobody wants to hear Jerry Lawler on commentary. It's 2018. You know what I mean? He's absolutely awful.
It was funny that Jim Ross last year commentated the main event, Roman Reigns versus Undertaker, this year. He commentated the opening match of the kickoff.
And he was playing backup man to Saxton. He was the lead commentator on this. Yeah. He was the, hey, welcome, here we go, blah, 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 which is ludicrous, but there we go. Gold dust dabbed. That was a positive.
what a highlight. What a highlight. Seeing Dolph Ziggler in there just sort of skin the cat a million times, it just made me think in the build-up to Fastlane, and at Fastlane, he was like, I'm going to headline WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And I remember saying at the time, that's a bit of a joke. he didn't even headline the kickoff show.
No.
So that was fun. So yeah, Matt Hardy wins this. Any other notes from this match?
Ash was the only one of us who predicted it. Well done, Ash.
Oh yes,
he had a cracking start.
So we've got our predictions. We all predicted last week. Have we got Skillets there as well?
Me and you said Big Cass. Skillets said Elias.
Okay.
I've written his real name. That's why you're confused.
Right, yeah. Skillet. The man they call Skillet. Okay, elsewhere on the kickoff show, Mustafa Ali versus Cedric Alexander. I thought this was good. This is obviously the final of the Cruiserweight Championship tournament. I thought it was good. Not a patch on Neville Austin Aries last year. I thought this was the spot they were taking. But it just, for me, it didn't gel. I thought the action was really nice, but there was something missing from it, and I don't quite know what.
Yeah, what I didn't like. I've got a note here saying the wrestling is good, but it was too hammy in terms of their in-ring chat.
Right.
Like, hey, come on, I'm the heart, you're the soul. Is that all you know, when they sort of stand and it's a bit panto. Hey, we're talking to each other in the ring, not like in a Kevin Owens or Charlotte and Asuka way. But I'll give my line and then you give yours.
And they even said, like, heart, soul,
yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah.
And it was I agree, it was a bit much.
And I knew that Mustafa Ali wasn't winning when he got the bigger entrance of the two, because that's generally the way that it goes.
Right, okay.
So he looked a bit like Shredder from the Turtles movie, I thought, with that his face.
Oh, I used to bloody love the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I enjoyed the cartoon more than the film, I've got to say.
Talking cartoon. There was it's a sort of quite emotional moment at the end, but I felt it was a bit forced given the match we'd just seen and the fact that it was on the kickoff show. Obviously, it was a huge moment for both of them, but they really, when Cedric Alexander got the pinfall, he jumped on Mustafa Ali.
Yeah, too quickly.
Like Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair at 24.
And
kind of kissed him.
Yeah,
it was just that. And it felt like they were trying to make a bigger thing than it was, perhaps.
Yeah, for somebody who's succeeding Enzo Amore as champion, you know, I mean, it's not that big a deal, really, is it? But it was a good match. They're good wrestlers. They're young guys as well, so good on them. I think you sort of have to make allowances as well for the fact that for people like Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali, for everybody, but your heart's going to be racing so quick. You're going to have so much adrenaline. It would be really difficult not to over-egg the pudding to an extent.
100%. And I think by this point, so this was because all three matches happened in the second hour of the kickoff show, which makes sense being on the USA Network. But the crowd were pretty much all in by this point. So it was a capacity crowd for these guys.
Yeah, I would have restructured it slightly differently, I think, and had one of the battle royals on the main card, because as I said on Wednesday, I think in the past that's been quite a nice palate cleanser. But so we got the women's battle royal next. Did you notice, obviously Paige was on commentary, did you notice they referred to her as injured, not retired? And she said that hopefully she might be able to compete next year, which may very well be a throwaway line. But it was interesting that Cole said, Paige currently injured, not retired. Am I just clutching at straws?
Well, no, but the whole retirement thing was never made official by anyone, was it?
No.
It was just all this chatter on Twitter, which we were all kind of sad about, but we were not given any facts. So yeah, at this point, she remains injured.
Do you think that she'd been on the lash the night before and that's why she was so croaky with Alicia Fox?
Absolutely, Alicia Fox, conspicuous by her absence.
Yeah.
Not in this battle royal. Yeah. People suggesting she's just not cleared, but there is a story circulating, and there was a video circulating as well, her getting into an argument in the WWE hotel with Ronda Rousey's husband.
Well, I mean, the first thing to say on this is it comes from The Sun. Hashtag don't buy The Sun. So let's not necessarily just believe it straight away.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, to what extent was it an actual argument?
Did you see the video?
I saw a 10-second clip of her saying, you're rude, basically, in his face and then being led away.
Yeah.
Now, you know, if that they might have been having a laugh and she got a bit carried away with it, you know, he might have been really horrible to her. We don't know. So just find that's a bit, you can easily rush to judgment off the back of a 10-second video clip. We'll leave that to The Sun.
Point well made. We'll leave that to The Sun. So Beth Phoenix and Paige, as you said, were on commentary with Michael Cole and Corey Graves. Corey Graves must have been knackered at the end of last night.
Absolutely no reason for him to be on commentary in this match, was there?
You've got Beth Phoenix
and Paige there.
And Beth said very little.
She tried, but she couldn't get a word in because there were too many commentators. It's a women's battle royal. Why not just have Michael Cole with Paige and Beth Phoenix either side? I'm sure Corey Graves would have been glad of a break.
Absolutely. So Becky, Sasha and Bayley are the only ones to get entrances. No one else does, which I thought was a bit odd.
Yeah, and it kind of felt like a concession to Becky that she got an entrance, didn't it? Because I tweeted last night, a penny for the thoughts of Becky Lynch, and this is something that we spoke about on a show not too far from here. She's recently changed her Twitter handle to Rebecca Quinn.
I noticed
Quinn,
that.
And that it's not everything, but it's something, isn't it? And
Stu Bennett.
If I was her, I would have been really pissed off last night.
Okay.
She didn't even get down to the final four, did she? She was out pretty early.
Yeah, there wasn't a great showing. I can't even recall who she was eliminated
by. No, I can't.
By.
I just remember seeing her on the outside.
The point is, it wasn't a memorable elimination.
There's no story for her going forward. No. The only hope for her WWE-wise is if she gets drafted to Raw.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, I enjoyed this match. I thought it was better than the men's Battle Royal by a long shot.
Nice spot with Carmella at the start.
Yes, that was fun. I really enjoyed the Sasha Bailey moment at the end. It was kind of what we predicted. I suggested it would go the other way. I thought Sasha would eliminate Bailey, but I love that Bailey kind of stood up to Sasha, got her own back, eliminated her.
What did you make of the Naomi bit? Because I get the element of surprise, but I would have liked a call at some point of saying, hey guys, Naomi hasn't actually been eliminated here, because it was a bit like, what?
Yeah.
She's been sat outside for 10 minutes.
To be honest, I missed the moment where she was eliminated. So for me, it was a bit underwhelming because I didn't realise she was still in it, which I know is the point. But yeah, it wasn't signposted at all. I mean, I would have preferred Bailey to win this, to be honest. I think it's such a big, wonderful moment for her and her character, and Corey Graves going, finally, you know, she's got some backbone and she's done this. And I think had she won the match off the back of that, it would have been a stronger moment.
Had she, I know they didn't do it, so it's a moot point, but had this been the kind of booking of her character when she first came in, rather than winning the title so quickly? Remember, she defended the title in a three-way, two, three main years ago?
Yeah.
Straight after she joined the main roster. Yeah. If she'd been doing something like this, you know, last gasp, it snatched away from her, that's classic NXT Bayley. We could be building up to something meaningful, whereas we've got her where she is now.
Mm. Yeah.
Nice shot of them sat on the floor at the end, though, looking at each other.
I thought, to me, that was the takeaway moment. And I thought, I mean, good for Naomi to get a victory, but I don't know. I'm not particularly invested in her. I don't quite understand what the Glow character is.
No, that's it.
You need some more depth there with Naomi.
Yeah. 0-4 on this, we were, by the way. Two Sashas, a Bailey and a Becky, so nobody predicted that.
Okay. Okay. So then we go on to the main show, WrestleMania 34. We get Pyro. We get Pyro. Big news. Big news. What did you think of the set this year?
I thought it was good, but I thought it was slightly less extravagant than in previous years.
I think I wonder if, because last year's was pretty spectacular, but that was an outside stadium. I wonder if being...
Was that the one with the fairground and stuff last year?
Yeah. Right, yeah. The big globe and everything.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, being under a roof, if, you know, they're quite limited. But I thought the WrestleMania sign looked spectacular.
Yeah, and I actually liked it being a bit more understated, because you got more of a sense, because it was an enclosed stadium as well, but you got more of a sense of the crowd and whatever. You didn't have the thing that you've had, excuse me, on previous Manias where people's entrance music has to play twice just so they can get to the ring. So that was good. Yeah, good. Chloe and Halle. Future of music.
The future
apparently.
Of music.
Yeah.
My favourite thing.
No,
the crowd
no pressure.
Going, the crowd going, hoo, hoo. Good crowd. Good crowd.
I really hope the and now voiceover guy never dies.
He, you know, he was the one that voiced our GP100 video package.
Yes, he was. Yeah,
He's a legend.
Yeah.
So I had a Skype call with him and we recorded this voiceover for this video. And he's a really nice guy. He's an American guy. I think he lives in... It was either LA or San Francisco, but we were having a chat. And he was like, hey, man, how you doing? And it had just been Thanksgiving, I think. He was like, yeah, I had Thanksgiving. And, you know, I was sharing turkey with my family and I hate all my family. So it was a bit horrible. I was like, right, so should we get going? And he's like, and now. So he just went from this really chirpy, chatty guy to tonight. But yeah, he's a
classic voiceover artist.
Classic VO. So IC title on the line in the opening contest. Seth Rollins versus the champ Miz versus Finn Balor. Wonderful entrances.
Seth got a humongous pop. Obviously, it's the first guy that made the show, partly, but because people love him as well. His blue contacts were weird. is Miz turning face?
Well, it was a bit curious, wasn't it? So at the top of the ramp, he sent Mr. Raj backstage.
Yeah, and we had that weird commentary on Raw on Monday where he was putting everybody over and talking about, you know, brilliant life is. And sort of, yeah, okay, he's got a new baby, but he's the Miz. Like,
well, this is the thing, that, and they kept talking about his new daughter and how he wants to be a better man and all, and, you know, and I just, yeah, I think maybe attorneys are coming.
Ugh.
Not a fan.
No, because I want Miz v. Daniel Bryan, please.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, God. Please don't let that disappear. I really loved this. I thought it was a brilliant energy to this opening match. I felt like all three of them went out there with a bit of a point to prove.
Yeah.
I think they really just upped their game. Great chemistry. The Miz, I thought, was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's easy to, you know Seth and you know how great he is. Likewise with Finn. I mean, I think we were saying on the show last week, maybe Skillet said, oh, I would have preferred it if it was just Seth and Finn. But I thought Miz did a wonderful job and gelled brilliantly with the two of them. Yeah, I thought it was great, start to finish.
I'd love to know people like Finn and Seth's, you know, real opinion of Miz as a wrestler. Obviously, as a mic man or whatever, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
But that's interesting what you say, because you just don't think of him as like one of these superior modern day athletic workers, do you? But he sort of is.
And he is.
I bet those two were pleased to have him in the match, because it just adds that different dimension, doesn't it?
Exactly.
None of us picked this.
Who did? No, Seth was quite a surprise victory.
I went Finn. Everyone else went Miz.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't mind the finish. I love Seth, obviously. Mm. If he's never won the IC title before.
Grand Slam, baby. Time.
So he's Grand Slam, which is brilliant. I was mildly disappointed because I just wanted to see Miz become the longest reigning IC champ of all time.
Yeah.
He's come so close.
Yeah.
And then, like, what, 21 days before it, he loses it, which is a bit of a shame.
Wonder if he'll win it back tonight. Remember when he won it off Ryder the night after WrestleMania a couple of years ago?
Yeah. But yeah, great opening match for WrestleMania. And then the next one.
It's like you'd forgotten what the second part of that was then. WrestleMania?
There was talk at one point of calling WrestleMania just Mania.
Because they wanted Vince to lose the Wrestle, doesn't he? Yeah.
I mean, you can't just call it Mania. Yes,
I mean, you can't because it's rubbish, but it's too well established now, so they shouldn't.
Good. So match number two. I was slightly concerned that this wouldn't live up to the first match.
Yeah, were you surprised it was second on the bill as well?
I thought it would be higher on the card. But Charlotte making a spectacular entrance.
Yeah, that's a proper WrestleMania moment. That was
so well executed, choreographed, directed, shot, lit. Wonderful.
This is one of those where you realize that you're probably going to wake other people in your house up by just going, oh my God.
I think I tweeted at the time last night, I could not love her more.
Yeah.
I just, she did it spectacularly. I loved the, you know, the playing homage to Ric Flair with the music at the beginning, just how everything was like this piercing yellow light coming through. She looks brilliant in gold.
Yeah.
I thought it was brilliant. And then the 3D lights. Did you notice, like, the floating graphics?
Yeah.
Which I thought, I mean, especially for Asuka, I thought were amazing.
Yeah, I quite liked him. Ashton
really
like
nice
him,
touch.
He tweeted. But, yeah, I quite liked him. What was I going to say about that? I'm getting quite tired now. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
Good. I thought it was surprising that they were second out, but I'm really glad they were in the end, because by the time you get to, you know, the last three matches, you're sort of done with it, aren't you? But I think, James, that this was, and I copped some flack on social for this, but this is my match of the weekend / match of the year.
Oh, / match of the year?
I think so, yeah.
Big words.
The Gargano-Ciampa match, obviously brilliant, but that had much more of a built-in storyline, so it's kind of easier for them to make a great match out of it.
Yeah.
This, I mean, Asuka caught Charlotte off the moonsault, put it into the Asuka lock, which was reversed into a figure eight. Asuka hit a suplex to the outside, which was absolutely brutal. That Spanish fly off the top turnbuckle as well. I mean, this is like breathtaking quality of wrestling.
It really was. And I think, because there are still a lot of critics for Charlotte, and I think she proved everyone wrong, I thought that she kept up with Asuka. Mm. You know, Asuka's a sort of in-ring genius. We all know that. But I'm starting to think Charlotte is as well. I thought she more than carried her weight in that match. There was an amazing pace to it. It was all very quick. And it felt like a nasty, scrappy, must-win fight. And there was no let up. It was just, and there was, you know, Charlotte, she's so emotional anyway. She was in tears a couple of points during the match. And just that all added to the drama. And I just, and it looked like Charlotte lost a bit of weight as well. She looked a little bit trimmer. Mm. And I wonder if that was something to do with the preparation for this match. But I think it's my match of the night.
Yeah, oh, it's definitely my match of the night.
And I thought it was just spectacular, given especially that there was no real built-in story, yeah, as you say.
Yeah, well, it was career. It was title v streak, wasn't it? But not much of a backstory for them. Yeah, it is just a fabulous match. I really liked the end. Don't mind Asuka, you know, giving props to Charlotte afterwards. And Charlotte needed the win more than Asuka did. The streak is gone, but that's fine because, that you know, those kind of things always come to an end. Charlotte now is set for maybe a program with Ronda Rousey, but whoever, because she'd been a bit flat on TV in the weeks and months building up. She'd been losing the odd match. And
she just hasn't had a lot to do.
Yeah, yeah. And Asuka doesn't need to go to SmackDown, which is the best thing for her, because that's much more difficult for women to get over than it is on Raw.
I thought it was really good. I was amazed at how many tweets were flying around straight after this match going, FWWE, I give up, how can they do this? And I just thought, really?
Well, people are passionate about it, and I get that. But you just kind of got to let it settle a bit before you.
Yeah.
But it's hard to do that when you've got your phone in your hand and Twitter at the ready.
The biggest compliment I can give this match, and I don't say it about a lot of matches, but it's one of these matches that you can show a non-fan.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking
And say, you know, this is why we love it. So,
and another big compliment is that all four of us said Asuka and it was wrong. So
did we? Yeah. Wow. Congrats, Charlotte. I was so, so chuffed with that match.
Just putting a cross through those.
Now, at this point, and this is where I was really getting into it, because I love the first match, love the second match even more. And then straight after the match, a referee runs down the ramp. So you think, oh, cash in central.
Yeah.
Here comes Carmella. But actually, the ref was running down to see John Cena. He gives Cena word that Taker's here. Cena runs up the ramp, which the gifs this morning are hilarious of him.
When you hear jorts are two for one, that kind of thing.
Exactly that.
You've just made me actually understand that now, because obviously I was a bit pissed off that John Cena was taking the spot at the end. But to say, because it played into a potential cash-in, it actually makes sense.
I thought it made real sense. And it's just this thing where you don't see very often, storylines kind of intertwining, him running up the ramp. And I think, did he run past Charlotte?
Yeah.
And Charlotte was looking a bit confused. Yeah. And I really loved the moment. I thought, this has been booked really, really well. So after that, we get the US title match, which was it was a bit of a piss break. Let's be honest. It was more exciting because Rusev was a part of it and he was the most over man in the match.
Good time to check Twitter as well. My note was for this match. And Bobby Roode's entrance again cut off. I mean, how long have I been saying, hey, it'll be really good when
by Aiden
Yeah, when he gets his entrance at WrestleMania. Why was Aiden English rapping rather than singing? That seemed weird.
Well, I think the bigger question is, did you notice, and is he the only man in history to get a haircut mid-show?
Yeah.
So he had long hair in the kickoff show, and then he was bald for the main show.
I was worried that he'd hurt himself as well, because when he was eliminated from the Battle Royal,
it's
a really nasty landing on his elbow.
He did, yeah.
But yeah, he was all right.
Yeah, the action was really good in this match, not taking anything away from the match itself, but the point is, I didn't care who won.
Yeah.
Well, actually, as it turns out, I did, because I was very annoyed that Jinder won. But It just didn't bother me, whether it was Randy or Rude or Rusev or Jinder. I haven't been engaged in this storyline at all.
Jinder should have won this title at last year's WrestleMania.
Yeah. I'm annoyed he's got another title, because we know what we're going to get for the next few weeks on TV.
Yeah.
And presumably he'll feud with one or all of the men he was just in that match with.
Yeah.
So it's not exciting.
Oh, God, please, not a one-on-one feud with Randy Orton again.
Please, no. I mean, that's just a step down. They were in the world title picture having these matches, and now they're in the US title picture. So it's just this is a great example of a match that just shouldn't have really been on the card.
No.
Because it just wasn't necessary. We got no music performance this year.
No, we didn't, which is a good thing. Something to celebrate, you could say.
And then next up.
That one went over your head, did it?
No, so celebrate.
Yeah.
Da, 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 I want to celebrate. Bloody love WrestleMania theme tunes. Ash Rose has just texted me.
Saying, oh, he texted me as well.
Are we still calling him?
Yeah.
Should we call him right now?
Okay.
Should we just get him on the line?
Do it.
Let's get our brother Ash Rose on the phone this very instant just to get his reactions from WrestleMania, considering he couldn't be here this week. Is he going to pick up? He wants to.
Mr. D-Lo.
Mr. Ash Rose.
How you doing, boys?
Hi, Ash.
We're good. You are live on GP right now.
Please do not swear.
Please do not swear. Long time listener, first time caller.
So, Ash, I just want to get your quick opinions on WrestleMania weekend. We've broken down NXT. We've talked a little bit about Hall of Fame and the fact that that was overlong, let's be honest. But we've obviously talked about how brilliant NXT TakeOver New Orleans was. We're halfway through WrestleMania, and actually we're just at the mixed tag match moment of WrestleMania. But just your opinions from watching the show, how are you feeling the Monday after Mania?
Tired. A bit, which are you boys are as well. You're probably at a good point at the moment in your Mania review, aren't you? Because I thought the first half was, I was sitting there thinking this could be one of the greats. There were some great moments. Charlotte, Asuka, as you already have been through, match of the ages for the women's division. Shock win. I don't think any of us called that, did we? Absolutely shocked at that win. Great. Just a great story, a great match. Really pleased for Charlotte. And then Ronda Rousey as well, as you guys are about to talk about. I mean, she really exceeded all expectations, didn't she? I thought that was one of the funniest WrestleMania matches I'd ever seen. I think even Triple H and Kurt Angle put on a show that I thought would be better than it actually was. Kurt didn't look as, you know, worryingly injured as we thought we would be. But then the second half, things went a bit downhill, didn't they, after that? I wasn't pleased with the Undertaker thing. I wanted American Badass, and I just didn't think that the whole story and the build, I hadn't thought about it overnight. I just didn't think that was the way to go. I thought it was fun at first, but not. I just don't think I could have been built so much better, but we'll see what happens on Raw with that. And then the main event, which kind of fell flat, didn't it?
Well, I want to talk about the main event because everyone being incredibly negative, I want to be negative about the fans in the stadium last night. Apparently, yeah, there were 8 beach balls flying around.
Right, that's what everybody was focusing on. Yeah, clearly something.
Those were the big crowd pops. Apparently, which was fairly annoying. But yeah, we'll get to the main event. But what about your other thoughts from Mania weekend? Obviously, some huge announcements. We got the Royal Albert Hall shows. We got a UK King of the Ring tournament coming up. So it was a big weekend of announcements, and I mean, I guess NXT as well. I don't really need to ask you. I presume you loved it.
I think it might have been the best wrestling show of all time.
Wow,
Jim Smallman.
Certainly for a very long time. For a very long, it's hard to. I cannot find a fault in that whole show. I think every match was outstanding. Every story that was told had you engaged. I'll be completely honest, the women's match, I came into it, I was like, yeah, it'll be good, but that sold me as well. I think Shayna Baszler really stepped up a level, became a star. The main event, oh my God. Match of the year contenders. To be honest, all of them could have been match of the contenders. Roddy turning heel and joining them through the era, didn't see that. Cole winning the belt, the ladder match, the spots. It was perfection. It really was.
It had a bit of everything, didn't it?
It really did, yeah. And it's just, I just can't, I wasn't going to stay up, and I kind of started watching it, and then I forgot what time it was. I was just so engrossed in the show. So props to everyone involved as well. I can't believe they keep topping them. Every takeover we get to, I think, oh, it won't be as good as last time. And they do, so bring on whatever the next one is. I think it's Money in the Bank, because try topping that one again, but I'm sure they will. And yeah, for the UK stuff, great news, isn't it? It's absolutely brilliant. I love the fact that it's the Royal Albert Hall. I remember the British Bulldog winning the Battle Royal there. Was it 91 or 92?
92, so, I think,
so much history in that building as well. That'd be brilliant. And King of the Ring, I mean, it should be a whole tournament, really, throughout WWE. But there's something English about King of the Ring, isn't there, anyway? So, yeah, great news for the UK scene as well. It's just, outside probably the second half of Mania, I think it was a great weekend. Possibly time management is the only thing I think I could say about the WWE. They really need to look at that next year.
Well, yeah, but we said that last year, didn't we? And they haven't changed anything. I mean, going back to NXT quickly, 5 matches, 3 hours, lovely. Thank you.
Yeah, that's what you need. I mean, last night's Mania, I think even if the quality in the second half had been as good, it's so long. the fatigue just sets in, and the Hall of Fame is 4 hours. That's just crazy. Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't like that some of the stars left before the main event in Goldberg. I think that's slightly disrespectful, but it is still a long show. I don't know what, like you say, we said this last year, I don't think it's changing. I know there's been a few kind of people saying that maybe Mania should be a two-night event or something like that, but it is a long slog, and at points last night I didn't think it mattered, but the second half it did.
Yeah. Okay, well, Ash, it's good to get you on the line, get your opinions. I just wanted you to call in. Hopefully we'll see you on Wednesday where we can...
I'm hoping so. As well, Brock's still the champ, so I'm still sticking around as well.
Well, exactly, yeah, exactly. That's how it works. Yeah, hopefully...
We'll be on the predictions. Who won the prediction game?
You'll have to listen in to the end of the show to find out.
Yeah, tune in later on and you'll find out.
Okay, I started well, but I didn't really catch up towards the end, so yeah, I look forward to that.
Okay. All right, Ash, we'll hopefully see you on Wednesday, and we'll break down Raw and SmackDown, which should be two pretty eventful shows tonight and tomorrow.
Let's hope so.
And then lots of news to chat about as well. So, yeah, hopefully see you Wednesday, man.
Good stuff. See you
Cheers,
then,
Dave. Bye. 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 Ash Rose there, ladies and gentlemen. Had to get him on the show. So, let's talk the mixed match challenge.
They almost announced, JoJo almost announced it as that, didn't she? She said, following is a mixed match mixed tag team match.
Oh, God. So this was sort of, I feel like, the biggest surprise of the night.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is the biggest surprise of recent WrestleManias, is it not?
Yeah. So Ronda Rousey, obviously, teaming up with Kurt Angle versus Steph and Trips. What a grand entrance the Authority made. The double spit moment with Stephanie and Triple H on the apron.
Yeah, couple that spits together stays together.
I bloody love that. Ronda Rousey looked hot,
yeah,
in her gear.
Kurt Angle looked terrified on the way out, I thought, but as ever, that weird thing when the bell rings and he can just shake off these horrendous physical ailments that he's got.
It's a weird thing. When he made his entrance, I got some feels, because I thought, this is bringing back a lot of memories. Yeah. Kurt Angle making a big entrance at WrestleMania, it was really nice. It took me back to kind of my, you know, mid-20s or whatever. Let's talk about this match. I think it was the biggest surprise of the night. I think I put on Twitter last night, I really hope this goes well. Like, for everyone's sake, especially Ronda Rousey, it just needs to be a success. And I thought, generally, it was an outstanding effort by everyone.
Yeah, the crowd were really into Ronda pre-match, which I'm sure helped settle her nerves a bit. But it was just so far above expectations. Like, quite simple in a way that, you know, they kept setting up the hot tag. Yeah. To Ronda. I wasn't mad on Triple H dragging her out the ring.
He did it with some force, yeah, though, as well,
yeah,
didn't he?
I don't know. I just the sort of man-on-woman violence thing's a bit... find it a little bit unpleasant, but she got her comeuppance, so I guess it's fine. She was selling a bit more than I would have liked for Steph, but that's a minor criticism. Because it was just like... It was fun, and it was gripping.
Yeah.
The bit where Triple H threw Angle through a table and he banged his head, I was very concerned about that, knowing his history of neck problems or whatever. But it was, I mean, Ronda was so good, wasn't she? All the kind of, we've been in the build up, she's not great on promos. She can wrestle.
she can really wrestle. She really threw herself about.
Yeah.
I mean, she was wearing no knee pads and you could see the grazes on her knees afterwards. She got properly, you know, bumped and bruised around. And I just thought it was really good storytelling. Towards the beginning, I was a bit concerned because there was a lot of spot calling going on. I don't know if you heard it with headphones in.
Well, I heard Triple H. Triple H.
Triple H.
That was William Regal style, wasn't it? I heard Triple H shout spinebuster at Kurt Angle. That was the only one that I heard.
Okay, so I heard a couple, and that was the most obvious one that I heard. But I thought, and the fact that he was doing it with Angle, like it wasn't even with Ronda, kind of goes to show that Angle is not in the groove of wrestling often, obviously.
But so is Triple H.
Yeah, I mean, that was a mild annoyance, but I didn't hear anything after that. That was kind of the worst moment. But then I just thought it was really fun. I thought Ronda did a great job. She looked really aggressive. Really, it was just really pacey. She just ran around like a mad woman.
Yeah.
And
Dana White seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah, Dana White was in the crowd. I thought this was brilliant. And I thought the crowd were really kind about the whole thing. They really bought into the, you know, pantomime, if you like, but they really bought into the fun and frolics of it all. And they wanted, I think everyone just wanted to see Ronda do really well.
And she did.
And she did.
Good on her.
Good on her. Lovely stuff. And then where do you think Ronda goes from here? Do you think we see Stephanie off TV for a while because she's got a broken arm?
No, I reckon she comes out tonight with her arm in a sling. And
okay.
I don't know. I'd be tempted almost to say Ronda suspended for a few weeks and just
let the dust settle a bit.
Leave people wanting to see her again rather than bring her out and go have a beat Dana Brooke tomorrow night or something.
I agree. It's like, yes, you love the fact that she's a full-time talent, if you like, but less is more.
Yeah.
And she's still an attraction.
Yeah. Not Brock Lesnar less, but a little bit less.
But I'll tell you what, after Charlotte's showing and the way Charlotte zipped around that ring last night with Asuka, and then seeing Ronda as well.
That could easily headline next year, couldn't it? That could go on last next year.
Yeah, I think it could. Mm. Oh, that's giving the feels. So congratulations to all four of them, because I thought they did a great job. And then Cena's music hits. This was next. John Cena comes out. And it was great because it was a really loud pop.
No, it wasn't
from
next.
Was it not?
No, Smackers.
Oh, Smackers. Titles. Sorry, I've missed that. So Bludgeon Brothers versus Usos making their WrestleMania main card debut.
A couple of minutes.
versus The New Day. This was one of the biggest disappointments of the night, I think, because it wasn't this big kind of TLC-esque weapon-laden match that we thought it might be.
It was a throwaway match. I thought The New Day entrance was pretty offensive. Kind of, let's laugh at these dwarves.
So dwarves dressed as pancakes?
Yeah, but like...
doing the worm?
Why are we laughing at dwarves? You know what I mean? It's 2018, and you'd think that maybe it wasn't New Day's idea, but we know how much they get involved in their WrestleMania entrances. You'd think that they'd probably be a little bit sensitive to that. I don't know. It felt very
late 90s WWE.
And you know what it is? Like, you don't want to be sort of overly sensitive to these things, but at the same time, like, there will have been, I think little people is the preferred term, or dwarves. Yeah. There will have been little people / dwarves watching that, and they'll have gone, oh, okay, well, I'm the butt of the joke then.
Mm.
And I don't know, it's just like, do we need to do that?
And I think more annoying for Hornswoggle, who didn't get the hook, get the call.
Yeah, yeah. Or Max Mini or El Torito.
Yeah. Spanish midgets wrestling Julie. Okay, I see how you got there. A little Friends reference for you. So an odd choice for the New Day entrance. I thought, this was just disappointing for me because the crowd needed to come down after the Ronda Rousey.
So stick the battle royal
spectacle
here. Stick the men's battle royal here.
Yeah, it seemed a shame that three such brilliant tag teams with a pretty great story going in, given what happened at Fastlane.
We'll stick the US title, because the US title match must have been longer than this, because this was really short, wasn't it? Without having looked at the timings.
Yeah.
So you could have swapped them around, especially because, like, Jinder's already won a belt, and Bludgeon Brothers, this act that they've been trying to get over for a good few months now, they won the titles, and it was kind of like, okay, they've won on to the next thing.
Yeah, it was a bit throwaway, wasn't it?
And it always feels weird when you get something throwaway and quick in a show that's so ludicrously long.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a 6-hour show, there shouldn't be a 5-minute match, really, should there? But
no,
anyway.
That's true. I have to say, though, the Triple H thing, because one of the concerns we were saying last week was, let's hope it's not too long, this Triple H Stephanie match. But I thought it went the perfect length.
Yeah.
I thought it was perfect in that regard. Slightly, mildly underwhelming SmackDown tag team title match, followed by, here we are, John Cena's music hits. I really liked it because not only did Cena get a big pop, but the crowd were like, whoa, we're getting the Undertaker. So it was like an extra special pop, which is really good. And then he comes to the ring, followed by refs who then give him some bad news, saying, I don't think he's here. Cena looks disappointed. And then the lights go out. And then out walks Elias. So the crowd go mad because they think Taker's about to stroll out, and instead it's Elias with a guitar.
Were you expecting someone else?
and this just goes back to, and at this point I was loving WrestleMania, and I just thought it had been booked so well.
Mm.
This running storyline through the show, the fact that Elias was involved, because we were all wondering how's he going to be involved in Mania. And I thought this was a stroke of genius.
He wasn't in the Battle Royal, was he, Elias?
No.
I don't think. Right.
No.
Interesting.
But then he gets beaten down by
Natch.
by John Cena.
To be fair, John Cena needs to beat somebody down, doesn't he? Because he loses every match he has these days.
Yeah. So he hits his finishers on Elias and then just sort of poses for the crowd, looking disappointed that he hasn't got his Taker match. And then the lights go out and Taker makes his appearance. So what did you think of this whole thing? The storyline, the build-up, the continued build-up throughout the show, which is quite a surprise in itself. I said there's no way they're going to not promote Undertaker heading into Mania. Although, as I saw in New Orleans, he was all over the posters as a match with John Cena versus Undertaker, but they had a question mark over Taker's graphic. What did you think about this? Because it was all quite odd.
It's quite difficult to unpack it now on 3 hours sleep, thinking about it. But the build, I don't think it worked. I would have liked to see Undertaker in the build up. But in terms of, I didn't mind it too much running through the show, although I don't, as you know, I'm not a huge John Cena fan. I don't know. Taker came out, dominated him early, won, did all his trademark spots, great, looked in better shape than last year. But why did he come back as classic Undertaker? That's what I didn't really understand.
Yeah, that didn't quite make sense. You would have thought the American Badass was definitely the way to go. I'm just looking up how long this match was.
I think it was about 5 minutes.
Do you know how long it was?
5:36 would be my guess.
2:45.
Was it? The actual crikey.
2:45. So Cena jobbing out to Undertaker, a couple of people suggested on Twitter last night that this sets up a retirement v retirement match next year.
Yeah, you think there's got to be some redemption for Cena, but I don't want to find that out tonight on Raw. I don't want another year-long build to the next Cena Mania match. We'll see.
The flow of it didn't quite work because the crowd would get, yes, they sort of expected the match, but they didn't know when it was going to happen. They didn't have a chance to get hyped up for it. Suddenly Cena's out there and then he's beating up Elias. Oh, and then there's Undertaker and now they're having a match. It all kicked off really quickly. They just started hitting each other straight away. And then it's over within 2:45. It just felt a bit weird and I didn't understand why they did it, really.
No, not me.
But hopefully we'll learn more tonight or whenever. Next up, Daniel Bryan versus Shane McMahon. Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. If KO and Sami win, they get their jobs back on Smackers. So Daniel Bryan coming back to the Superdome in New Orleans. First match in, I think it was his first match in roughly 3 years. They keep saying 3 years. I know he retired 2 years ago, but I guess he had some absence before he actually retired. So what did you think of this tag match?
I mean, it was emotional, wasn't it? Bryan looked like he was close to tears, if not in tears.
Yeah.
I thought Sami throwing Shane into Linda McMahon in the front row probably wasn't supposed to happen. He might have got a bit of a rebuke for that. I get the storytelling, like in the main event of 30, of Bryan being taken out before the match and blah, blah, blah. But I'd seen enough of Shane and his crappy punches. He shouldn't have been wrestling in this match. He was, quite seriously ill a couple of weeks ago. So I don't know. It was good. It was great to have Bryan back. And he looked brilliant when he was in the ring, but he should have been in it a bit earlier for me. I liked Owen shouting, "Money ain't gonna save you now."
Yeah.
But this is probably where the card started to turn, actually, for me. It was a little bit disappointing.
I know what you mean. I loved Daniel Bryan coming out. Great reaction, nice emotion. Loved it at the end as well when he was hugging Brie. It was just a really special moment, all the yes signs in the crowd. And also I love that the Superdome is becoming quite a special venue for WWE now.
Yeah.
Just because of the big things that have happened.
Yep.
Taker losing his streak, Daniel Bryan returning. So I like that aspect of it. I thought KO and Sami did a great job. Sami, does anyone take the yes kick better
yeah,
than
you
Sami
tweeted
Zane?
That, didn't you? Yeah.
He just took him like an absolute trooper last night. So I thought it was one of those matches where I thought everyone looked great. From a match quality point of view, didn't quite live up to the hype.
No, but it left you wanting to see more of Daniel Bryan.
Yeah,
I guess, so.
And I guess that's...
And less of Shane McMahon.
And KO and Sami, presumably...
Off the Raw.
Well, maybe off TV for a while, but then when a reshuffle happens, they get hired in by whoever the GM on Raw is at that point. Shane hitting the coast to coast, considering what he's just been through, and
Impressive, but reckless. I don't know.
Does that sum up Shane McMahon perfectly?
Yeah, possibly.
Okay, and then next up we have Nia Jax versus Alexa Bliss for the Raw Women's Championship. I loved Alexa's entrance.
Yeah, that was cool.
She got a really good, great entrance. Nia destroys Mickie James at the beginning. Just tosses her around.
Ragdoll.
Yeah, with reckless abandon. And then gets her hands on Alexa Bliss. And it's hard not to compare this to the Charlotte Asuka match earlier on in the card, but it wasn't brilliant.
No, it wasn't. It was a bit disappointing. Nasty looking Samoan drop off the second rope for the win from Nia onto Alexa. Yeah, I mean, it was fine, but it suffered from its placement on the card because I watched this morning, but I'd certainly still had enough by that point. One note I made here, not regards to the match, but the commentary coach had a stinker, didn't he? And this was at the point where the other two commentators gave up and just started slagging out off everything that he said.
At one point, Corey Graves said to Coach, and considering this is Coach's first WrestleMania in over a decade, I think, Coach went, "Open your ears and shut your mouth. Just listen to what I'm saying."
What, Graves said that to Coach? Yeah. Went, right, okay.
So really, and you know, I don't know if that's just a bit
He takes it a bit too far sometimes, I think, Graves, if he's not an out-and-out heel, which he sort of flits between one to the other. But anyway, that was a minor note on that. So I think that's about all we can say really about that match, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought there were some really nice moments. I do think Nia, when she's throwing people around, at points looks really reckless. Like she had Alexa Bliss up in the gorilla press, and threw her, and for some reason Alexa kind of landed awkwardly on her feet and knees, which, you know, I love those big guy versus little guy, or big woman versus little woman in this case, scenarios. It didn't quite hit the dizzying heights I was hoping it would, which is a similar case for and Nia Jax wins the title.
Yeah.
And again, no cashing. Mm. Oh, yeah. And then another match which I don't think hit the dizzying heights which everyone was expecting was this quote-unquote dream match, Shinsuke Nakamura taking on the world champion AJ Styles. Did you notice that the strap graphic said Universal Champion?
No, I didn't.
For AJ Styles, that was a production error.
Like the old John Hennigan, John Morrison one of a couple of years ago.
What was that one?
They actually put Jim Morrison instead of...
So this, you know, was billed as a classic in the making. Mm. I was struggling at this point. It was about 3:30 in the morning. I had gone super tired, and I think I probably missed a couple of minutes worth of this match.
In the land of Noddington.
Yeah. It was one of those sleeps where you can hear everything.
Yeah.
So I could hear the crowd, I could hear AJ, and then suddenly I heard AJ's music, and that woke me up. So I did miss a couple of minutes of this, but I don't know. Was it that they didn't gel? Was it the expectation was far too high? What were your opinions on that?
Expectation was far too high, but I think they just left a bit on the shelf. Is that a thing?
As in they held back a bit.
Yeah,
considering what's going.
Because I think it's the first of a series of matches. Yeah. So I think that's why they did it. I just think that probably WWE didn't help them by keeping banging on about the fact that it was a dream match in the build up. Mm. It wasn't as good as we hoped it would be, but yeah, you know, Corey Graves was trying to sell it, wasn't he, that it was the greatest match ever. But we won't look back on it and think, oh, that was a slightly disappointing match. We'll think, oh, that was when Nakamura turned heel at the end.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Because there was no story going into this match, really, other than just we wanted to see it. Like is the case with WWE all the time, as soon as they inject some storyline into it, suddenly you're more engaged. And the matches they're now going to have on the slightly smaller pay-per-views where perhaps they can main event, where perhaps the card won't be so stacked, perhaps when they can have more time, I just feel like they can put on some absolute clinics.
Yeah, and it's sort of important if you're having a series of matches that the best one's not the first, isn't it?
Cause yeah, absolutely.
You want the best one to be the last, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And were you surprised by Shinsuke turning heel?
No, I wasn't actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it keeps the feud going, which I thought it would have been. I thought they would carry it on, but I thought they would struggle to get much more juice out of it with them both faces.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Nakamura hasn't been a success particularly in WWE, has he? His NXT run was all right, but his SmackDown run's been so-so at best. So
I think his NXT run was brilliant. I mean, I particularly remember his match with Sami Zayn on NXT.
Oh, that was his first match in the company. You know,
was that his first match?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Yeah, I mean, he certainly hasn't hit his stride, so hopefully this heel turn will help enable that. So AJ retains. Shinsuke, I mean, I did love the moment afterwards.
Yeah.
They hugged. Shinsuke got down on one knee to hand the belt back to AJ and then gave him a pretty solid low blow.
Yeah.
And then was just kicking him in the face really forcefully, really relentlessly, just kicking him out of the ring.
But
like
you got to see more character development from him there, didn't you?
Yeah, like just in that little moment.
There was a bit more depth to him as a heel. So
more aggression as well.
Good.
So
keep it going.
Good, yeah, good things to come. And then we go to the bar. Sheamus and Cesaro putting the tag titles on the line against Braun Strowman and
Nicholas.
A plant fan, a 10-year-old boy in the crowd. Braun comes out. Funny entrance by the bar.
Yeah.
I thought all those Mardi Gras characters were quite impressive. Strowman comes out and throws them all off the stage, which I thought was brilliant. And the characters running away.
Scared head running away. That was quite funny.
That was
good.
But then Strowman announces that it's going to be one of you. And he points out to the WWE Universe. And then he ends up walking around the crowd, ends up choosing a, you know, roughly 9-10-year-old kid called Nicholas.
Who is the son of a long-time staffer, apparently.
Right.
According to, I saw that on PW Insider this morning on the way in.
Okay. So then suddenly you have this 10-year-old little boy on the apron as Strowman's partner. Thoughts?
I don't know, James. I can't
it's too early. It's too early to know, isn't
it? Yeah, it is too early to know. I thought when Nicholas tagged in and Cole shouted, Nicholas is legal, I thought, he's steady on. he's probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the idea of it, I think, is actually quite fun and nice.
Yeah.
But the match needed to be 5 minutes longer for Sheamus and Cesaro to lose with some dignity rather than losing quickly to one person.
Yeah.
That was my problem with it. But, Nicholas, he's got a story to tell, hasn't he? What was there was a really good tweet somebody put out this morning, which was, it was Tyler Bate. You know, he didn't put it, but somebody put Tyler Bate, I won a WWE title at 19, and Nicholas, hold my Ribena.
Yeah, that was superb. In one regard, I loved it because, you know, it's a WrestleMania moment.
Yeah.
It's something that will go in the highlight reel. It's a really fun story. Strowman chose a fan from the crowd, and it's, you know, I totally get from an entertainment standpoint, it was a brilliant thing to do and quite creative. Like, no one saw it coming.
Yeah.
People were either predicting Samoa Joe or, you know, I predicted
Ellsworth.
So I did really like that. My negative thoughts are, is it a bit of a slap in the face to Sheamus and Cesaro? Does it make a mockery of the tag team titles? I don't know. Just more kind of serious questions like that, but I don't know if I'm overthinking about it and should just enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Which way do you go with that? But yeah, Sheamus having been famously murked at WrestleMania, whenever it was, him and Bryan. I know he won the world title that night, but yeah, it's give me a couple of days and I'll probably have some more. I mean, and again, a lot of this is what happens next, isn't it? What happens on TV tonight and tomorrow. So it's my initial thoughts are I did quite enjoy it, I've got to say.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's reconvene on Wednesday and see what our opinions are then. But for now, let's talk the main event. Lots to say on this one. Brock Lesnar Roman Reigns challenging against Brock Lesnar, the Universal Champ. This was a funny one because I watched this. I was back awake again. I was fully up for it. And I really, really enjoyed this match. Whereas it seems like the crowd in attendance were far more interested in beach balls flying around the stadium. At one point, they were chanting, "This is awful."
Word, I thought that. I made that note.
I don't personally understand the hate for this match. Do you?
No, I don't. I thought it was a decent match. I didn't quite enjoy it as much as the one at 31.
Yeah.
But it was good. I mean, there were some quite messy suplexes, which looked like they hurt Roman quite a bit. It was a good match, but the finish was weird and flat. I don't understand why Brock won. I mean, I'm thinking, I hope we're not going to get a year-long redemption storyline for Roman Reigns. No. There's a three-year payoff to this match, and we didn't get the payoff.
we didn't get the payoff.
Yeah. So, yeah, and again, I felt really, I mean, I don't feel sorry for Brock, because I think he could care less what fans in the arena think of his match, but I felt sorry for Reigns, because it wasn't a bad match. It certainly wasn't, you know, a boring sort of Triple H, Randy Orton style main event.
This is the thing. It was hard hitting. It was brutal. Roman Reigns was flying around. He was being flung around. Everything looked thumping and hard hitting. They were both going for it. Lesnar looked exhausted. Roman Reigns got busted open hard way, obviously, by Lesnar and his fists and elbows. Blood.
But on purpose, surely.
I mean, yeah. On purpose. Yeah. It was a point of the match to make it more, you know, chatter-worthy. But it was brutal. We never see that much blood on WWE TV.
Nope. Full crimson mask.
It felt to me something quite special, whereas the crowd just pooed all over it. And I just don't know why, because out of the blocks, these two just went for it.
Yeah, because you understand apathy at this point, because you would be tired.
Of course, yeah.
But it wasn't apathy, was it? It was, we don't want this. It was a rejection of the match. And not in a kind of anyone but Roman way. Kind of what they were doing wasn't getting over, and it should have done. Weird.
It was really surprising. I do understand this kind of, this issue with people having a problem with the formula of Roman Reigns matches, lots of Superman punches. But, you know, and I guess you can say the same about Brock Lesnar, lots of German suplexes and the like. But there were...
He did a naughty swear, didn't he, at one point?
He did. Mother effer. I really enjoyed it. It was what I expected. And I thought the blood enhanced the drama massively. I thought the table spots were brutal. The way Brock Lesnar flung Roman Reigns into the barricade looked devastating.
Yep.
I thought it was great. And I was really annoyed by how the crowd were reacting to it.
Yeah, I was too. It'd be interesting to see the 24 on this and whether we get some thoughts from
either man
on it. But yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see on Raw tonight where we go, whether they have another match and Roman wins the title tonight, or whether we're just going to have our part-time champ again.
We shall see. Yeah, there could be a big title switch tonight, because everyone was predicting that Roman was going to win, and the fact that it went the other way, I liked that as well.
Yeah.
Because it just makes you realise you can't predict everything. You think you know everything, but it turned out different. So it was quite, in that way, it was quite flat an end to Mania, because it wasn't what people were expecting.
My very last note is a flat end to a great show, and maybe a great show stretching it a bit looking at the second half, but I felt like this was a solid 7 out of 10 WrestleMania, and if they capped it at even 4 hours, you know, which is a long time to watch anything, then it would have been one of the great WrestleManias. But it's just a shame that it was too long. I mean, one of my favourite films is The Godfather, and, you know, I've watched it.
A famously lengthy affair.
But I think 3 hours, 12 minutes, Godfather 2, which is my favourite of the trilogy.
Yeah.
Always the same. Nobody ever says twice. But, you know, if I've got, like, you know, when the missus goes away, whatever, you've got the house to yourself, and you think, oh, I want to watch a film. Oh, shall I watch The Godfather? I always think, oh, I'm not sure I can be bothered to sit here for 3 hours. This was 6 hours, and it started at 10 p.m. UK time, and finished
it was seven hours in total.
I mean, you don't watch. I don't watch anything for 7 hours.
No,
you just don't.
Yeah,
you could watch three or four films in that time.
Yeah, I think if they'd trimmed this down by three matches, and the card had been 4 hours long, as in the main card had been 4 hours long, I think that would have been fine. But yeah, I mean, I echo those sentiments. I really, really enjoyed it. A definite dip in the second half, much like last year. But I do not understand the hate for the main event, because I really enjoyed it.
No. Sad. Just to finish then, because the aquarium is calling.
Of course.
If you listen to Wednesday, you know what that means. Would you like to hear the results of our predictions?
Yes. Who is the winner? Skills, Matt, Ash Rose, or myself? We all predicted who got the most right out of our Mania predictions this year.
14 matches.
Okay. Drum roll.
Matt Davis, 5 out of 14.
Oof.
James D'Lo, 5 out of 14.
Oof.
The man they call Skillet, 5 out of 14.
Oh, hello.
Ash Rose, 5 out of 14.
Are you joking?
There was literally no point in us doing that.
Oh, man alive. That is hilarious.
It's interesting, though, because we've not all got the same ones right and wrong, if you see what I mean. Like, Ash is the only one who picked out Matt Hardy to win the Battle Royal. Ash is the only one who didn't get Taker winning because he said it was going to be a tease for 35.
Yeah.
I'm just looking to see if there's... Oh, the only one that we've all got right by the looks of it is AJ. And I had a look at the odds a couple of days before the event, and he was a big outsider to beat Shinsuke. Yeah. So there you go.
Wow. 5 out of 5.
It's everyone. Interesting now. We should keep doing that, though.
That is. Yeah. That is interesting. Let's do that for all pay-per-views now.
Okay.
All right. Well, Matt, I really appreciate you coming in this morning. And I hope you have a nice day with the family at the aquarium.
Yeah, I'm slightly concerned that I haven't booked the tickets in advance, but you couldn't get the 2-for-1 offer with train tickets if you book in advance. So are we going to get in school holidays? It's, stay tuned to my social media feeds too.
Waiting on tent hooks.
Yeah.
And quickly, where can people find you on the social?
At Matt Davis FC on Twitter. Please also follow at the PU podcast, and we will be dropping our own WrestleMania reaction show for that in the next couple of days. It won't be as instant as this one.
Of course not.
And it won't have added D-Lo, but yeah, please listen to that as well. This week, I don't know about you, but I just devour every piece of wrestling media that's put out there. Any podcast, any article, any radio show. I want all the scoops.
I might give it a break for today. I'm knackered.
Yeah, but certainly also, for the rest of the day, it's all about Stingrays.
All right, Matt, thank you very much. And thank you guys for listening to this special WrestleMania 34 Reaction GP Spesh. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at WWGP. Follow me at James D'Lo. I appreciate you downloading this special show. I hope you've enjoyed all things WrestleMania. I hope you enjoy Raw, because as the promos say, it only happens once a year. It's the Raw after Mania. I'm sure there's going to be lots of beach balls tonight as well in the Smoothie King Center. Is that what it's called? Smoothie King Center?
Don't know, but if you go in, well, you will already have heard this, but let's not have... Hijack Raw is funny to a point, but let's respect what's going on in the ring as well, please.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, I hope you enjoy Raw. I hope you enjoy SmackDown, and then we'll be back on Wednesday with the boys. And I think Skillet will be back in the country there, so we'll get his take from being in New Orleans over the weekend. But thank you for listening. This has been a Starstruck Media production. We shall see you on Wednesday.